I can't believe it's Friday. I am so excited.
Friday,
I mean,
it's Friday.
We certainly have four great guests, but, you know, Friday brings a different kind of energy, I think, to any show. So we've got Mike Schofield with us today from Dynon Electro... It's Dynon Avionics.
They're also electronics.
In electronics. He's the marketing director there. And I thought this was a really interesting way that you ended up joining Dynon, that you read about the company in a story that the EVIS D10A was better than the competition, and you actually put one in your glass air. And there are a whole lot of other Dynon... how do you say it? Dynonians?
Yeah, Dynonian seems to be the preferred pronunciation there.
Wow. Well, thank you for taking some time on your Friday to join us.
Of course. It's a pleasure.
Wow. I mean, I know of Dynon from having flown the Skyview and in the Remos, and I see the cold Texas cold people are putting some of the Dynon equipment in. And what's so cool about Dynon anyway?
Well, there are a lot of things that we do really well. One is that we're really affordable. That's what's brought people into the fold. As you mentioned, that's what, when I saw an article, I think it was in Kit Planes in 2004 or 5, and at the time, the competitive products were, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. Most of them, or many of them, aren't around anymore. And here was this little product, the EFIS D10, that was $2,000. And I said, whoa, there's something going on here, and decided that I needed to be part of it. And so that's the thing that brings people to us, for sure, or has in the past. And we've just gotten better and better at building products that are usable, you know, enhanced safety, but are fun to fly. You know, they really are, you know, a joy to fly behind.
There's been a real progression at that company, though. You've gone from that first product, which was pretty darn basic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was.
And then at some point you brought in advanced designs, which that had a lot of interesting things going for it. And I've seen this real fusion. Can you kind of take us through the steps over the last decade?
Yeah, so we were started by John Tarode. He's our primary shareholder. He's an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur that made his name in semiconductors. And when he sold his most recent or last company, he was kind of got into the semi-retired mode, but he's not the kind of guy that retires at all. So he decided that he was going to have an angle of attack indicator. And since he's affiliated with the University of Washington, he was, a professor there for a while, he, you know, designed the angle of attack probe. That turned into, then you need some way to display angle of attack. Then they kind of got carried away with modern sensors that can sense roll and pitch. That turned into the EFIS D10. Then we did engine monitoring. Then we started with autopilots, and that was sort of our first generation of products. Once we were there, people would buy or have a Dynon panel that was some of our stuff, and then other people's radios and navigators and maps. And one of the issues that ended up creating was now we're connecting to all kinds of other things. That can be a little bit of a support challenge. People start finger pointing. We realized that we wanted to do more. We wanted to provide a better customer experience. So then we refreshed our product line with SkyView. We added moving map, our own transponder, comm radio. So now we're doing the whole panel. So now we can really sell you everything. An internal tagline for, you know, a long time was we want to own the panel. And we want to be able to provide, you know, customers everything they could get from one source. About 5 years ago, we acquired Advanced Flight Systems. We kind of grew up as competitors, so we have another product line that does most of the same things, but operates very differently. And then recently, in addition to certification, we realized that you know, a lot of modern builders are using advanced quick build kits, and most home builders are building their first airplane. Not everybody is an electrical engineer. And we realized there was even a market or a need for people to have this technology, which does install very easily, but have it even go even quicker. So our Advanced Flight Systems team now makes what we call advanced panels. We will literally build you a panel, ready to drop in, rivet to your structure, you know, pre-made harnesses. So we take an already easy to install system where we can tell you, you know, sell you everything, but also give it to you in one single package. So that's kind of been the evolution. We've been doing more and more as we, you know, throughout the last decade. And then, you know, a few years ago, starting with EAA, we started down the certified path.
Well, and LSAs really brought that to you, didn't it? I mean, I saw a change there. You guys started being OEM equipment.
That's right. Yeah, we are OEM equipment in virtually all of the light sport aircraft. We were, you know, when light sport really came online, we were probably the only real provider of EFA systems that was able to do everything at an affordable price. You know, a lot of the light sport aircraft, they were targeting that sort of $100,000-$150,000 price point. And with the stuff that, you know, I guess you theoretically could bring down from the certified market, they just weren't able to provide to the OEMs.
You know, something I've always wondered, and you mentioned the price point a couple of times, and when you design a new system to be affordable, how does the price of the, I guess what I'm asking is, how do you guys build such a cool system at such an economical price point when there are other older manufacturers that are still building things that cost five times as much? It seems like they're using current technologies, but...
Yeah, so if you were building a certified product or an aviation product a decade ago and going through the kind of the conventional engineering process, you were using different components that were maybe hardened, you know, lower volume stuff. We do use a lot more commercially available, kind of commercial off-the-shelf electronic parts in our supply chain. Also, because we didn't start out as a company certifying things, we were able to operate more like an electronics manufacturer where we design, we test, we go to market, rather than, let's say, a certified avionics manufacturer that is upfront trying to satisfy some pretty deep FAA requirements that affects every aspect of your design, your engineering, and all of that. So coming from home-built land where we're using more commercial electronics, that kind of gave us a leg up early on. And then as the FAA over time has become, has changed their approach to what they want to see in light GA aircraft, that has been an advantage to us to keep the cost down.
So the Part 23 rewrite worked in your favor.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be great for aviation. It actually hasn't impacted our approach to certification too much. Fundamentally, you know, Congress pushing on the FAA and the FAA realizing that there's a risk certification continuum that theoretically should be there, but for a long time wasn't there. If you were certifying or building something for, you know, capital A or certified aviation, whether you're building something for a Cessna 172 or a light jet, you're having to meet the same certification standards. You know, TSO is kind of what you hear people talk about a lot. Over the last decade and maybe even the last 5 years, the FAA has really started to realize that having all of those requirements, you know, having to meet all those requirements for across the board is maybe a little bit too burdensome. And they were realizing that the technology just wasn't getting into the retrofit market at affordable prices. You know, of course, you can buy, there are many great airplanes out there that are on the certified market, but they're just out of reach of a lot of people that are just flying for fun.
Well, and your products, and all of these products, honestly, because you've got a lot of competition out there right now, augment safety. And I think that's where the FAA's, you mean they could have less accidents if they had this in the airplane? You know, that kind of opened their eyes. What do you think?
100%. I mean, even for a weekend flyer that's going for the $100 hamburger, having an autopilot, you know, on there once you are in your, you know, cruise phase to remove workload, so now you can look out the window again and not spend all of your time, you know, flying the aircraft by hand. There's lots of safety-enhancing technology. Traffic and weather in the cockpit are awesome. You know, flying from, you know, not this year, but other years when I've flown from Seattle to here in our Glass Air Sportsman, just being able to, you know, weave around weather systems, and it's fantastic.
So what's next?
What's next? You know, so we're just kind of, we actually need to regroup and figure out what's next to some degree, because we kind of went on, starting a few months ago, on a program to certify now almost 600 type certificated piston singles. So the question, you know, the question that we get in our booth a lot is, when are you going to certify my aircraft? That question is moving into, when am I going to have autopilot in my aircraft? Because these 600 airplanes are everything but the autopilot. So largely what's next on the certified side is now approving autopilot installations in as many of these models as we can. You do have to prove them. You got to build brackets. You need to, you know, prove you can fly the airplane. Whereas everything else is kind of, you know, everything is similar in a similar installation in different airplanes.
Well, you know, something I'm curious about, how valuable is a show like Air Venture to you for gathering feedback from users about part of what's next?
Yeah, hugely valuable. You know, we have, I would say actually probably 30 or 40% of our traffic, maybe it's more like a quarter, are existing customers telling us what they like and don't like. You know, we're not an internet connected app. You know, our stuff is in airplanes. It doesn't talk to the cloud or anything like that. So we do rely on these conversations with even existing customers to learn what's working, what they're wishing for in the future. Of course, we get that, you know, through our technical support and sales channels at home, but those in-person conversations are great. And then of course, when we're looking for what autopilot are we going to certify next, or, you know, what type of product are people asking us about, these conversations at the show are hugely valuable.
Where on the show grounds can these people find you?
Yeah, we're in Hangar Delta. So we have the whole corner, and then outside there's a big tent that's labeled Dynon. There's a beautiful Bonanza 35 series that's a painted fly Dynon. We're hard to miss if you're in the Hangar D area.
You're doing a little education in that tent?
We do. We do forums all week. They were going twice a day. We just had our last one this morning, Friday morning, but we have forums all week about what's new and learning how to put together our product line.
So what do you go back to the coast?
Back to Seattle. So I'll help tear down tomorrow, Sunday, and then I'll fly commercial out of Chicago.
Great.
On Monday.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mike, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year.
All right. Thanks for having me.